Have your Bible, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Find verse 12. Verse 12. First Corinthians 15:12. We'll read down through verse 19. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? If Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith also vain? Yea, and we are found to be false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if there so be that the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and ye are still in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. May we pray. Father, this is your holy word. And sometimes it's hard for us and our American culture to go back to their culture, because we like to Americanize the scripture and make it ours. It is ours. You've given it to us, but we should not take our American ideologies and plant on scripture or in scripture, but they should be contrived by scripture. And Father, I trust your word above all else. This morning, may the Holy Spirit give illumination. May he give encouragement. May he give insight. And Father, your word will accomplish its purpose. I claim that promise for the glory of Christ. His name I pray. Amen. The philosophical world in which Paul ministered was a different world than ours. Some of the philosophical Greek ideologies had the concept that things of material were bad, but things of the spirit were good. And you couldn't change the material things. Only the spiritual things could be changed. So it was all right in worship to go into the temple to male and female prostitutes and worship by having the encounter with them. It was all right to have that loose lifestyle outside the culture of religion, because it was material stuff. It was not going to contaminate the spiritual side of you. They believed that Jesus Christ was only material in his flesh, but there was a spiritual side to him. Now, his flesh may have been crucified and buried and They don't know what happened to it. Disciples must have stole his body, but the spiritual side could have erased. There were others who taught that Jesus, when he came only as a spirit, a manifestation of a body. And when he walked, he didn't leave footprints. I guess when he ate, he didn't eat. I don't know. When he touched people, I guess he really didn't touch them. You know, he did that from time to time. And they taught that. In Acts 17, verse 32, the Apostle Peter, now I'm not going to read it, but you can. The Apostle Peter has gone to Athens, Greece, and he's in the Acropolis, where all the brains are. And all these learned men are there, and they all like to sit around and debate about their different religious beliefs and philosophical ideas. And they're willing to listen to somebody new come in. Well, Paul comes in talking about this Jesus, this new God they hadn't really studied or heard about. And so they're listening to him. My, you know, this guy's pretty learned. He had two or three PhDs. He ought to be learned. And he's communicating. And then in verse 32, he comes to the resurrection of the dead. And they go, oh man, what's this seed picker come up with? This knucklehead talking about resurrection of the dead. Ain't nobody resurrect when you die. That's it. You never come back to life. Nobody's ever resurrected. And so they laughed him to scorn. They ridiculed him. They made absolute horrendous fun of him. Not everybody did that, but the majority. And the ones that didn't make fun of him kind of went with him to hear more. Interested. Not everybody responds to the convicting, convincing power of the Holy Spirit when the gospel's preached. And when the gospel's communicated, not everybody's going to follow. Not everybody will respond to the Holy Spirit's work. But there are some that will. And you and I aren't responsible for their response. We're just responsible for delivering the message. God take care of the rest. And that's what Paul was doing. But in our day and age, because it's been so long, and Jesus hasn't come again, there are scoffers. There are individuals who do not believe in the resurrection of the dead. They do not believe that people will come to life again. They got this belief that when you die, you die. You either go to heaven or hell. Some of you go in between somewhere. They don't believe in the second coming of Christ. They're not sure about his bodily, physical resurrection. And in this text that I read to you, the apostle is writing to the church at Corinth, who has some in that church who are trying to teach the people, well, there's not going to be a resurrection of the dead. You just need to get over that. If you think your loved one's going to get up out of the grave, you're kidding yourself. Ain't going to happen. It's just not. If you think you're going to die and then raise one day, won't happen. Not going to happen. And they were messing up the people. Now, Satan will infiltrate every church. Let me let you on a clue. that is true as true can be, he's here this morning. Don't get scared, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. But he's here this morning, and Jesus is here this morning. Now, he just shows up to stir up problems, okay? And he infiltrates churches and teaches false doctrine sometimes. Stirs up stuff. Well, he did that at Corinth. I mean, if you want to look at a worldly church, just read Corinth. I mean, they had so many problems in that church you couldn't shake a stick at. They had a man sleeping with his stepmother. Well, they weren't related. Surely that wouldn't be wrong. Paul said, Greeks don't even do that. The unsaved people, the heathens, don't even do that. They messed up bad. And they were messed up bad on the resurrection. Very bad. He takes the whole 15th chapter and deals with it. We're just getting a little pricky out of it. And let's look at this. There's two main sections. One is theological, and the other one is practical, everyday stuff that you and I deal with. The theological aspects, he says right off the bat, Christ would not be raised if there's no resurrection. Wait a minute. Are you telling me that we put our faith and trust in someone who's still dead? That we know different than Buddhist or Confucian or 1 trillion of the Indian gods that they got? We know different. Well, yeah, we're different. We have a living, risen Savior. We've been singing about him. We've been worshiping about him. We've been celebrating it all morning. He says, how can you say there's no resurrection? Jesus has been alive. We know in the book of Acts and others that he had appeared to over 500 at one time. Are them people all wacky? No. I mean, the apostles gave their lives because they believed Jesus was alive. You don't die for somebody who's a fake. Come on now. If your children only have a spiritual illumination, you're probably not going to die for them, because ain't nothing going to hurt them. Here, he says, man, that'd be bad. Peter got right up and said, Jesus, you crucified him. He was buried. God raised him from the dead. He preached a powerful sermon on the day of Pentecost. He preached what the Holy Spirit of God put in his heart. He had nothing but the Old Testament. 3,000 came to Christ. God was doing a mighty work because they believed in a risen Savior. He said, not only that, preaching the gospel would be meaningless. Why in the world would you want to take the gospel in a tract or out of the Bible and take someone and say, now here's what the Word of God says? Why would you preach that gospel? You see, the gospel is about a Savior who was virgin born, lived a sinless life, died on the cross for your sin and my sin, and was buried, and God raised him the third day for our justification. Death couldn't hold him. Satan had no power over him. What was lost in the garden, he got back on Calvary. He rules and reigns now. And one day, I'm telling you, every knee's going to bow. I don't care if it's in heaven, on earth, or under the earth. I'm telling you, they're going to bow and say, Jesus is Lord. And they're going to do it to the glory of God the Father. And it'll be more than one time, that proclamation. They're going to say that till God is satisfied and blessed. He's a risen Savior. Faith in him would be worthless. I mean, what good is it to put your faith in someone who's not real? If you have a person that you do business with or dealings with, and that person has lied to your face 3 or 4 times, and you've caught him in the lie, are you going to trust him with your life? You're going to trust him with your children's life? You're going to trust him with your spouse's life? Most likely not. You're not going to buy a car from him. You're sure not going to trade horses with him. Well, that horse ain't never bucked in its life. You a liar, man. He ain't never had a saddle on him, let alone buck. You see, if you and I put our faith in Jesus Christ, who the Bible says was raised from the dead by Almighty God, and he didn't do that, we have a God that can't be trusted. You're putting your faith in somebody that's worthless. He goes on. The witness of preachers and apostles and prophets of the resurrection would all be lies. Every preacher you've ever had that's preached the gospel, if there wasn't a resurrection, is a liar. The Apostle Paul is a liar. Peter is a liar. Andrew is a liar. John is a liar. Not only that, so are the women who went to the tomb. They're liars. Not only that, so is Jesus. Oh, that's hard. That's hard for me to call him a liar. You see, He told Thomas, come here, Thomas. If you think I'm not real, man, touch me. Look at, put your hands there in my nail holes and put your hand in my side where the spear went. Man, later he ate some fish. You see, if he didn't resurrect, then he's lying. How would it be to call God a liar? You see, preachers that say, well, Jesus rose, and God say, no, he didn't. We just lied about God. We said he raised him when he didn't. Paul said, that's not a good thing. Some of you have been around school and in school and teaching and subbing and done different things. You found out pretty quick what kids could be trusted and what kids couldn't be trusted, what kids would tell the truth and what kids wouldn't tell the truth. I drove a school bus while I was going to college at SBU when Mr. Raines had it. I mean, you could find out real quick on the bus who could be trusted and who couldn't, who'd tell you the truth and who wouldn't. The ones that wouldn't tell you the truth ever, you didn't trust them to rat on somebody, because they might not be telling the truth. You see, Paul is saying that if there is no resurrection of the dead, why are we gathered together to worship? Why do we sing hymns? Why do we call one another brother and sister in Christ? You know, I love my wife. We had a good marriage. It wasn't perfect this side of heaven. We had our disagreements. I mean, she could clam up so tight she wouldn't talk for a week. No, that's not true. But I have got the cold shoulder a time or two. It's been my fault. Okay? There's nobody perfect this side of heaven. But you know what? And her and I talked about this when I was convicted and put under the microscope of God. Before she's my wife, she's my sister in Christ. Oh. You mean I gotta treat her like my sister in Christ ahead of my wife? That's a high priority. You see, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. Why would we act like that? Why would we shake hands? Why would we hug one another? Why would we pray for one another if there's no resurrection of the dead? It's all just a bunch of baloney. Best Greek term ever. Baloney. Why? Paul said we would be absolutely, doctrinally, biblically, theologically hopeless. Now I want to talk about some personal consequences that go along with this theological problem, okay? We'll get down to, I'm going to meddle, okay? Every once in a while, a pastor has a right to do that. All men would still be in their sin. We're two little babies here this morning. Why do they act the way they act? Because they chip off of the old block from mom and dad. They little sinners. Mom and dad just big sinners. They act differently, but they do the same thing. They may not throw the same type of temper tantrum, but there might be one there sometime. I've seen it happen. Romans 6:23 says that the wages of sin is death, physical and spiritual. And Romans 3:23 lumps us all together in the same pot. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That little word, A-L-L, doesn't leave anybody out. I don't care if you're in the White House, the smokehouse, or the treasure house. I don't care where you are. You're in the same pot. You're a sinner. And you're still there. You haven't been freed. You haven't been set free. You're just as ugly as you ever were. I'm talking about sin, okay? All former believers would have eternally perished. Wow. Are you kidding me? Chapter 11 of Hebrews is a joke. If there's no resurrection of the dead, them folk ain't got nothing to believe in. They gone. They perished. All the preachers that have died that stood in this pulpit are gone, perished. My mom and dad who went before me perished. My wife Chris went before me, perished. If I remember right, there is a passage of Scripture that everybody learned for the first time ever before any other, probably. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed in him should not what? Fall off the rock? No. Should not perish. Why? Because Jesus is going down on the cross, going to be buried and raised again. No perishing. None. But if there is no resurrection, we eternally perished. We eternally are separated from God. We spend eternity in our sin. Do you want to spend eternity in your sin? I get so disgusted with me. You know? Why'd I do that? Why'd I act that way? Why'd I say that? What's the matter with you? And all Christians that are in the world today, of all people, would be the most pitiful people there is. Because we put our faith in a man called Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We believe that he died on the cross for our sins, that he took our place. He was the Lamb of God that took our sin away. Not only our sin, but sins of the entire world. Anybody who would put their faith and trust in Christ could have their sin removed as far as the east is from the west, and their debt to God paid in full. Never again to owe him a debt. Doesn't mean we're perfect. Doesn't mean we're without sin. But it means we're without a debt, an obligation to God. You and I would be pitiful people because we'd have no hope. We'd have no presence of God. I don't know where that presence of peace came from in my life about 2 years ago or a year and three quarter ago, something like that. I don't know where it came from if it didn't come from Jesus and his presence. There was such peace and calmness and joy in my heart that I could even smile amidst what I call a tragedy. You know? He loves us. We have a risen Savior. A living Savior. The consequences would be bad, but they just consequences if we didn't have a Savior. Since we do have a Savior, we get to shout hallelujah. If you can't shout hallelujah, go back and check your clanker. Something wrong with it. Your bell hadn't rung lately. I want to read a scripture to you. Paul wrote to the Galatians. They were messed up too. Chapter 4, verse 6. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wait a minute. If we didn't have a living Savior, why would God send them into our heart where we would cry, Abba, Father? Abba being Aramaic, which means daddy. Now I pray to the Heavenly Father. I pray to Jesus Christ. I call on him. I don't use the term daddy. I just can't get over that hump. That's me. You might be able to. That's fine. But you wouldn't pray to God the Father as though he were your father. You wouldn't call on him if there wasn't a resurrection of the dead. Why? Because the Holy Spirit of God is in your life, in the inner man, in the inner emotions, in the inner mind, in the inner spiritual heart, and you cry out to Him at different times. He's there. We have a living Savior. And we can smile. And we can rejoice. And through tears of sorrow, we have hope. Paul said to the Thessalonians, I don't want you to sorrow like those who have no hope. We sorrow, but we have hope. And the blessed hope doesn't rest in me, doesn't rest in the preacher, doesn't rest in the mortician. It sure don't rest in the politician. It rests in the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved me and gave His life for me. We're going to sing 407. Because He lives. What a song. But above and beyond all that, what a Savior. What a Savior. Sing from your heart. I'll be standing here if you have a need. Come and visit me.